In our remaining 15 minutes together, I want to draw your attention to John chapter 6 this evening. And verse 35 is where we're going to begin. And we're continuing in our series about the normal, natural life of the Christian. And specifically, we have been studying the prayer life of Jesus Christ. And I want to kind of hone in tonight, if we can, on why Jesus the man. Now, this is important to understand. He was 100% man. Yes, he was 100% God. But he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And he established as a man a prayer life with his Father. And I want you to see the heart of that tonight, because this is the important thing, takeaway, that you and I all need to. If we're going to have a right kind of Christian life, we've got to be connected to our Father. We're His children. We've got to know our Father. We've got to be connected to Him. That's a natural part of our Christian life. Look at beginning at verse 35 of chapter 6 in John. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye have also seen me, and believe not. Now, that was his statement to those that were gathered around him. You don't believe me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Father in heaven, bless this time that we have together around your word. May we see the heart of the Lord Jesus in this matter of prayer, as he was here upon this earth as a human being, identified with us, showing us the connection that he had with his Father. And we as Christians are to have that same connection. Help us, Lord, to take away the truth that you have for us tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You've all read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 4 about a threefold cord is not easily broken. And that whole passage there kind of leads you up to the thought or the truth that talks about if one stumbles and another is with him, that one that has fallen can be helped by the one who's with him. So two are better than one. And then he goes on to say that a threefold cord is not easily broken. In other words, it's better to have three. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. And you find the number three emphasized throughout the Bible. There's the truth, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Why three? Why were they not just two or just one? The picture is there, a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. You can separate a rope and you can break the strands that are separated, but when you put them all together and you twist those together, it becomes a very strong rope that won't break, unless you're on a rope swing in Georgia. But it wasn't the rope that broke. It was the stick that we had on there, and I wasn't doing it right. But anyway, we won't get into that tonight. But I want to share with you the threefold aspect of Jesus' life here on this earth. And it comes out of this passage and several verses in the book of John here. The Lord Jesus Christ had a right relationship with His Father, number one. That right relationship was communicated in prayer. All right? The Lord Jesus Christ had a prayer life when He was here on this earth. And that resulted in a third aspect where He had power with God and with whom? Men. You think about all that Jesus was able to do. I mean, He had power with God and He had power with men as a man. You know, isn't it wonderful to think about the fact that you and I, as Christians, have a man in the glory who forever has a body like our body And we'll be able to see the wounds in His hands and in His side and in His feet and in His brow, whereby He made atonement for our sin. He became us and dwelt on this earth. And it's important to understand that as a man, He had a right relationship with His Father, and that was maintained through a prayer life. As we're going to see here in this passage of Scripture, He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And He emphasizes this over and over again in the book of John. Almost exclusively, we see that repeated. By the way, it's a good study to go through the book of John and see all the negatives that Jesus Christ speaks. He says, not my will, over and over again in the book of John. Not my will, John 6:38. Not my works, John 10:37. But the works of my Father which is in heaven. Then He says, not my words, John chapter 12 and verse 49. But the words of my Father. I speak not my own, but the words of my Father. And then He says, I'm not of this world, John chapter 8 and verse 23. He says that. He says it in John 17:16. John 18:36, He emphasized, I'm not of this world. I'm from another world. And I'm here to do the will of my Father who sent me to this earth that we created. And He sent me here for the purpose of atoning for the sins of sinners by me going as a human, shedding my blood to make atonement for sin because I'm the perfect one. Not my will. Not my works, not my words, and I'm not from this world. Now, why is that important? Because it shows us the connection that He had to His Father and the obedience in that relationship that He exhibited to His Father as what? A human being. Now, that's important, folks. Theologically, it's important for you to get a hold of. God did not die on the cross. I've heard people misspeak that over and over again. Yeah, God died on the cross. No, He didn't. God can't die. But Jesus Christ, the man, died on the cross and bore in His body the sin of the whole world and rose again the third day, and now He is ascended with a new glorified body. And He will forever live in that glorified body, permanently identified with whom? With you and with me. He'll have a body, and we'll have a body like unto His glorious body. Why did He do that? Why did the Father say, Son, do this? Because it was the only way that atonement could be made. And what kind of relationship did the Son have with the Father, the man Christ Jesus, with His Father? It was one of submission. He was obedient unto the will of the Father, we're told in Hebrews. Why? Because that was the only way to atone for sin. How did they keep communication? It was through prayer. Now, I'm emphasizing this because there's a third aspect here that you and I should desire as Christian, and that is power with God and power with men. Don't you want to see victories in the lives of our young people and children here at Grace Bible Church, Santa Rosa Christian School? We just spent time in prayer, praying for the children of our learning center, praying for our children in our school, praying for our college students. Why are we doing that? Because we want power with God, and we want to see God work in the lives of our young people and children. How do we do that? Well, first of all, I've got to have a right relationship with my Father, just like Jesus did. He had a right relationship with His Father, and He had a very important aspect of His life that was centered around prayer with His Father. And what was the result? The Bible says that He had power with God and with men. We read about that in the early part of His life. As He grew up, He had power with God and favor with God, and power and favor with men because of that right relationship. the most precious relationship. I hear all this stuff about relational, and it's always this way, right? I want to tell you something, Christian. You can have these all day long, but if you don't have this one, it doesn't matter about this one. Are you listening to me? The most important relationship, Christian, is the one you have with your Father in heaven. Because you'll never have this relationship right until you have this one right. Why was Jesus able to have a relationship with men on this earth? Because He had a perfect relationship with His Father. That's the secret. How can you have a right relationship in your home between a husband and a wife and a father and mother with their children? You know how to maintain that and make it precious? Have a right relationship with God. That's how you do it. There's no other way to do it, Dad. There's no other way to do it, Mom, grandfather, grandmother, children. You must have a right relationship with God. And there must be that development of the prayer life. That connection that He had with His Father. We get a glimpse at the Garden of Gethsemane, where He's praying. And we even get a glimpse of some of what He prayed there. Lord, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Is that Jesus God speaking there? No, it was Jesus the man speaking there. Nevertheless, not what I will, but Thy will be done. And it was God the Father's will that He have that cup poured out upon Him, that cup of wrath, bearing in His body the sin of all mankind, past, present, and future. Folks, this is the threefold core. Number one, right relationship with the Father. Number two, a prayer life that is communication, where you speak to God and God speaks to us through His Word, that connection, that special connection. Anybody that's been a Christian for any length of time and spends time in prayer knows what I'm talking about. Do I hear an amen? You know what I'm talking about. To see God work. Oh, we watched Him throughout the summer work in answer to prayer. We needed teachers, and God sent us teachers. Oh, well, I'm already seeing that special relationship developing because they've got a heart. It's an answer to prayer. How we've seen God undertake. We had two of our ladies that were going to have babies earlier this year. We were praying, Lord, just undertake for them, and they arrived safely. What a blessing. God answers prayer. There's a special relationship. And that is the third aspect of this threefold cord. Power with God and power with men. I shared with our faculty and staff last night. I'm so thankful for the longevity that this ministry has had. You think about how many Christian schools have closed in the last 56 years. Been a lot of them. Been a lot of them this year that have closed in the state of Florida. And yet God deigns to allow us to be able to continue on in Little Milton, Florida. We've got Christian schools that are closing in big cities in Florida. Can't keep going, but God has just deigned to allow us to be able to keep going. I don't know how long. One of these days, God may put His heavenly padlock on the door and say, that's it, we're done. And if God says so, I'll be just as happy then as I am now. You see, folks, God has answered prayer and has given us longevity because God's people have been praying. God's people have been praying. And God has answered prayer. Jesus Christ had this special relationship. I was reading Josephus. Was talking about the influence of fathers in the Roman Empire, and this is what he said. This is very interesting. When a Roman father told his son that it was a sweet and honorable thing to die for his country, he believed what he said. This is talking about the Roman soldier, the father. He believed what he said. He was communicating to his son a reason and an emotion which he himself shared and which he believed to be in accord with the values that he held to. which his judgment discerned in noble death. He was giving his son the best he had, giving of his spirit to humanize him as he had given of his body to beget him. It's kind of an interesting look back into the past of a Roman preaching to his son, oh, it's honorable to die for the Roman Empire. He believed what he was saying. And he believed he was passing along to his son something of value. Something worth dying for. And the son believed his father. Do you not see that same illustration in the life of Jesus Christ? The father told the son to go and die for the sins of the whole world, and the son believed the father. And in obedience, took up the father's values. The father loved this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't ever let it become a trite verse. It's one of the most precious verses in the Bible. It's easy to let it become trite, commonplace, but it is a beautiful picture of the relationship of a father with his son, a right relationship born out on this earth in a prayer life that was connected, which brought about power with God and with men. And you can have the same thing. I can have the same thing. But you gotta want it. You gotta want it. It's like anything else. Isn't it interesting how when we want things, we usually get them? I remember growing up as a child, there were lots of things that I wanted. I'd put hints around the house Christmas time. Remember the old Itasco hardware stores we used to have in the South? I saw an old pump shotgun play toy, and I wanted to have it, so I started cutting out pictures and sticking it on the bathroom mirror so my dad would see it. I knew he went by there going over the Air Products, and I wanted that thing desperately. And when we got to Christmas time, I started pilfering around. Shouldn't have done that. Started looking around, and lo and behold, in their closet was that shotgun. Boy, I just could not wait. And boy, I whenever Christmas Day came, I was beaming ear to ear. You know what happened, though? I broke it. My brother, the one who is, you know, exact and takes care of everything, he had his gun for years. I had to pretend shoot my gun while he was in real life doing it. I mean, cocking it and firing it. That was what God did to teach me a lesson about, you know, wanting something. But you know what? When it comes to spiritual things, you gotta want it. If you don't want it, God's not going to give it to you. You gotta want it. May God help us to have that same kind of wanter that Jesus had for his Father. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time together. Lord, teach us. So easy to just try to eke out the Christian life, go day by day, just living life with little thought of a relationship that we ought to have with thee. A prayer life that means something, that sees the hand of God working and providing and answering. Oh, that's such a glorious life. Help us, Father, to desire that more than anything else in this world, more than anything we can get or buy with money or seek to have. Lord, help us to have the right kind of desires so that we can see your work in our hearts and lives and in our homes and in our church. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.